This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The fingerprint used to be law enforcement's smoking gun. Find one on a murder weapon and you've got your suspect. Next came DNA evidence, forensic technology that has since put thousands behind bars and in some cases freed inmates wrongfully convicted. Now researchers are studying another biomarker that may be able to tell us even more about a crime scene, bacterial signatures. Jack Gilbert is an environmental microbiologist and team leader at Argonne National Laboratory and lead author of a paper exploring microbiomes in our homes and apartments. Jack, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
The reason fingerprints and DNA have been so useful for law enforcement is they're unique to whoever leaves them. How unique is a person's bacterial signature?
Your bacterial signature is 100% unique to you. Even genetically identical twins have very different microbial signatures in their body. And that's because we all experience different interactions with the world from the moment we're born until the moment we get to the current state where we are. So your microbial diversity is shaped by those interactions. And so we none of us live the same life as another person. So we develop a different microbial signature.
But our interactions also change over time. Can a person's bacterial signature also change? You know, will my microbiome be the same 10 or 15 years from now?
Well, think of your body as an ecosystem, like a tropical rainforest or a swamp or a desert, no matter what you want to look at. It takes a while to establish that ecosystem, and once it establishes, it's quite stable. And our microbial ecosystem stabilizes by the time we're 2 years old. And then it remains quite stable throughout life. It has blips around adolescence and later in life. But on the whole, it's actually reasonably stable. It does vary slightly. But unless you have a dramatic shock to your body, such as dramatic surgery or lots of antibiotic use or radiotherapy or something which really pushes the ecosystem outside of its comfort limits, it won't change.
How do you even see it? I mean, anyone who's watched a crime show has seen detectives dusting for fingerprints. What do you need to be able to see a person's microbial trail?
Well, you can't see it at the scene. What we do is we take a Q-tip, a sterile Q-tip, and we swab some of the microbial signature off different surfaces in a space. And then we take the DNA from those bacterial cells that we've acquired, and we sequence those using genomic sequencing, much the same way as we do with the human genome. And that genomic sequencing tells us which bacteria are there and in what proportions. And it's those two points, the composition of the microbiome and the proportions of the composition of the microbiome, that we use to identify which person they came from.
What kind of details about a crime scene might you be able to read through bacteria?
Well, if you think about a fingerprint, you can identify whether a person was there or not there based on the presence or absence of their fingerprint on that space. Genetic evidence is similar. It tells you that the person was there or not there. But microbial evidence has a number of interesting new information twitches inside it. So I can identify, because microbes are living organisms, the time since that person interacted with that space. So, you know, we believe at the moment it's about 72 hours after a person has interacted with the space that the signature starts to decay to the point where we can't identify it. But within that 72-hour window, we can see a lot about when they were last there and potentially even who they were interacting with and maybe even what they were doing for a job or where they lived in, say, the United States. Because our microbiome is shaped by our geography and by the work we do and by who we live and talk to and work with.
So it's very different than hair or sloughed off skin.
Yeah, it's a dynamic marker shaped by our diversity, not by our genetics. And so, you know, our diverse interactions, our lifestyles shape that microbiome. And so our lifestyle is almost imprinted on that microbiome. So when you leave it behind, you leave behind a lot more information about who you are and what you do than you do with just genetic signatures.
But somebody could come and vacuum away hair or sloughed off skin. Could someone come with a, you know, bottle of bleach and wipe out the microbiome?
They could. Well, even your microbiome's inside you.
So, I mean, I'm sorry, the bacterial signature?
Yeah, they could do on surfaces, absolutely. The same as wearing a pair of gloves. Gloves could eradicate a signature from your fingerprints. But interestingly, unless a person was wearing a biohazard suit, they couldn't eradicate everything about the signature they left behind. It's very hard to eradicate all microbial life from a building or a space. And if you have a section of your skin showing, you will be sloughing bacteria into the environment. You can see this perfectly with spaceships. When we try and prep spaceships to send them to Mars, we try and sterilize them, but we've never been quite successful at doing that 100%.
Fingerprints and forensic technology have made it possible to trace crime scenes in a number of different cases. We'll add to that a new biomarker, bacterial signatures. Each person has their own, and Jack Gilbert is among those who is researching how personal microbiomes could be used to solve crimes and solve other big problems. Is your lab working currently with law enforcement to see how far you can go with bacterial evidence for crime scenes?
Yeah, we're in the nascent part of this research, but we are working with a number of law enforcement agencies in different states trying to identify if this technology could help them to develop another line of evidence, say on a corpse or even in a room. And so we're exploring how our microbial fingerprint decays after it's been deposited on different surface materials like wood and carpet and floor or clothing or even skin. And that's really helping us to pinpoint the valid usefulness of this technology.
Well, we know now that DNA evidence is not foolproof. It ages from when things, it can be misidentified, entering it into a computer. Is there a danger in seeing forensic technology as a slam dunk?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, forensic technology is only as good as the probability estimates that you want to apply to it. I know that sounds complicated, but everything is statistics. Two individual people can have a unique genetic signature, hence identical twins. And what we do when we look at a genetic signature is we apply a probability that it came from that person, i.e. it would be highly improbable that anybody else could have deposited that signature. So it's not a 100% biomarker.
But you would say, I mean, you've got somebody sitting there on the stand, you've got bacterial evidence connecting them to a crime scene. Is that enough for a conviction in your mind?
In and of itself, I would not rely on it right now. But absolutely, in the future, along with other lines of evidence, it could be incredibly valuable in telling us a lot more about who that person was that was interacting with that space, and then potentially helping us to find that person. So the person we put on the stand would have a significantly higher probability of being the person who committed the crime.
So in the future, maybe along with a mugshot, fingerprints, we might have bacterial markers that would be associated with people who've been arrested for crimes and they would be on record.
Yeah, maybe even environmental microbial fingerprints of soil and water and environments such as homes around the country. So that if we found a microbial fingerprint, we could say, well, this person looks like they grew up and currently live around around Iowa, or maybe even around Boston. We're trying to determine the particular efficiency of identifying that biogeographic signal, but it's looking very important.
So we can imagine this technology being used in law enforcement. Other positive benefits of your research on microbiomes and how they might change our daily lives?
Well, absolutely. You're born essentially sterile, although even that hypothesis may be incorrect. But let's take for assumption that you're born sterile, and then you're forced into this world. And your microbiome is one of your first lines of defense against disease. And it also helps to shape your immune system and your physiological and neurological development. So our hope is that by examining how our indoor space, our homes and our cities and our cottages in the country, we may be able to generate healthier environments that can lead to the development of healthier children. So eradicating asthma and allergies, maybe even conditions like autism and Alzheimer's. So we're exploring how the microbiome shapes our health.
Really big, interesting stuff. Jack Gilbert, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jack Gilbert is an environmental microbiologist and team leader at Argonne National Laboratory. You can find much more on his work with microbiomes at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. If you like what you heard, we invite you to share stories and segments with others. You can go to wordofmouthradio.org for a deep list of our archives to listen to. You can post them on social media or email them to friends. And let us know what you are hearing from your circle of friends and colleagues and sources. What are you curious about? What are you finding interesting? We find that the best stories tend to bounce around by word of mouth. Please keep sharing them and join us again for Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.